This is a podcast from policyreview.tv.
We have time for questions. We have a roving microphone. We're going to be slightly short of time, so I would urge you to get in quickly with your questions. Good, some hands coming up. Lady just there, right next to you, that start with. And would you mind just standing up so we can see your, name and where you're from?
I'm Helen Atkinson. I'm an engineer, and I'm an academic from Leicester, so 1994. But I'm also about to be the president of the Engineering Professors Council. I used to be the careers officer in our department. And all the employability stuff is fantastic for those who are actually employable. Our real problem is with those who don't want to get involved with all the stuff the university is laying on. And so my question really is what to do about those who just, you know, you look at their CV when they start to draft a CV for you and there's nothing on there other than their academic work. And you think, what have you done? You know? So please, some advice on how to get hold of those who are...
Okay.
And get them engaged.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to take two or three questions and then come to the panel. That way we'll get through rather more. There was one right down the front here. Thank you. Two down the front. There we go. Can I ask you nice quick questions? That's the only thing.
Hi, Hannah Harrison from the Financial Services Authority. One of the concerns from employers about the changes to higher education funding is that students will naturally gravitate towards more kind of accountancy and financial and move away from the arts subjects. I was just wondering if there was any evidence in the research to suggest that art students are less employable, because actually as employers we don't look at the degree subject necessarily in terms of entrance into our graduate schemes.
Thank you. And just next to you.
Linda Buck, I'm a University of Sussex, Director of the Careers and Employability Centre. It's directed at Paul Marshall, particularly. Very interested in the Beyond the Curriculum report. You mentioned the key role of student unions. You omitted throughout the report, I'm very sad to say, to talk about the role of higher education career services who are driving employability. So I'd like a comment on that, please.
Okay, thank you very much. Let's start with that last one first, as it's directed to Paul. The higher education career services...
Okay, I'm sorry. Specifically, I did talk about the broad range of different, and you're absolutely right. I mean, these are, the issue here is actually about bringing together all of the different aspects of the university administration, the student union, the academics, the schools, everybody that's involved in these kinds of activities, and actually bringing them together in a coordinated way. So in a sense, there is lots of evidence, whether it be anecdotal or of the careers services kind of being stuck out as the kind of, you know, the place in which students encounter in their final year but never would dream of stepping foot, you know, in that, you know, having been a Sussex graduate. I know that this isn't true at all, but the issue here then is about just making sure, and I'll give you another example just very quickly. So at the University of Lancaster, Paul Wellings, the VC of Lancaster, chair of the 94 group, writes to all Lancaster students at the moment they accept a place at Lancaster to tell them about the various different activities that the university will offer them, the critical role of the career service, the role of the student union, the various different awards and other things that the university does, so that the student starts to think about the job that they're going to get from the moment before they've even stepped foot on the university campus.
Jane, the issue about perhaps this drift towards more students choosing vocational courses, is there evidence about the employability of arts graduates?
There are certainly very big differences in the way people move into the employment market, and certainly creative arts students are less likely to get jobs quickly, it seems. There seems to be a higher likelihood that people in creative arts subjects are more likely to do non-graduate jobs and to do things like internships for slightly longer. I think that's less to do with the nature of the subject and more to do with the industry. Sometimes we have it reported, for example, that such people do that because they're building their portfolio or building their contact network and so on. There are probably fewer structured graduate training schemes in that kind of sector. But in answer to a sort of broader question, are people more likely to choose the financial areas than the arts areas? I suspect not, really. I think if we look to evidence such as the Future Track survey, when we ask students how did they choose their course as opposed to their institution or to go to university at all, intrinsic interest in the subject is really what's very powerful as the deciding factor. And I think if one is intrinsically interested in studying a humanities subject or an arts subject at university, you're not going to do accountancy just because you think there are more jobs in it necessarily.
Is that going to change because of fees particularly? Yeah,
I suspect not, really. I might have to eat my hat in a couple of years' time. I don't
see
the
UCAS application figures in the last few years have suggested more going for vocational courses?
Not really. Not hugely so. We did look at this, actually, last year for Universities UK, didn't we? Not hugely so, no. Okay. No. What seems to be continually going up is the numbers of applicants, whether or not. You know, there are some slight blips now and again, but overall, I don't think so, really.
Okay. And Christopher, you might want to comment on that, but also can you deal with the question about how do we reach the hard to reach?
I will pick up both. Actually, it's interesting because we have an acting school, which you would think would be one of my lowest employments, 100% last year, frankly, much to my surprise. But in actual, probably if you like, as we know, actors sometimes have holidays or whatever they call
it. Resting.
Yeah, they're resting, that's right. Yes, well, they weren't resting anyway. But interestingly, we have no difficulty in the arts area. So, for example, it very much reflects your comment, because, for example, our English students go and get placements, for example, in the city, and they get employed in the city, some of them. We've got a lot of music students who go and work for people like Sony and Universal Studios and things, and on the creative side, no problem. The point is, actually, there's an appetite, as you know, in the industry and business for quite a variety of graduates. So it isn't all about that. And, in fact, I must admit, I share Jane's view. I don't think she'd be eating a hat at all, actually, because I think as long as we're able to show that students can get jobs in these disciplines, that we'll be able to deal with the anxiety. There may be a little anxiety, I think, in the early days of the new fee regime, because in particular mums and dads will be worried about this, I think, probably more than students. Just turning on to what is the toughest question this morning. I think we have to recognise that there are some people who come to university, because you've got to remember university isn't just about young people, it's also about mature students too, who will come to university not to get a vocational or an employment experience. They're coming because they want to perhaps participate in a university-type environment, gain knowledge, get involved in the debate of it, and learn material they would not otherwise be able to. You could remember some people are actually doing this at the end of their traditional career, not just at the beginning. But even amongst young people, there are some people who aren't coming to university with a fixed end point, which is employment. They're coming because there are other things in life that matter to them. And that's perfectly reasonable. You know, I say we're a university. We're not an employment or training machine, and that's true across the sector. The only thing I think we do need to be aware of is that young people in particular at 18 aren't necessarily always wise at that point. So we actually do have to help them understand the consequences of if you like, of a disinterested approach to a career and how to help them. And that does happen at all universities. I can tell you from my own experience, because I've met some of them usually around graduation time, who suddenly realise that actually they are going to be faced with either finding a job or being unemployed. Where we can help them pretty quickly. That's where things like, for example, the CV classes and even the workshops which we do run beyond graduation. And let me say, we invite our alumni to come back to use our career service because, if you like, graduate employment doesn't stop when they leave university. That helps solve that problem. So it's an issue, but I don't regard it as a problem. And I like to think at my 3% are sunning themselves on a beach in Bali rather than actually contemplating.
So reaching 100% is not really either realistic or even necessarily desirable.
No, not at all.
Okay, well, thank you very much for your questions. We just finished with a show of appreciation to our speakers this morning. Thank you very much. Thank you.